Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Luis Anacori Ramos, right here live in Corozal, Puerto Rico, Borinquen. Bienvenidos, welcome everyone for being on this show. And I have my co-hostess with me. Her name is Crystal Kiana. Oh, I messed your name up. Kiana
Hinaru
Santiago. And we're going to speak about that. So today we're going to speak about some exciting information. We're going to stir up a little controversy maybe, but we're going to have a guest star today. In the next hour, we're going to talk about some paranormal things. And I think he's on the switch. Let me see. I'm looking. Oh, he's still not on. I still don't have that intern, Crystal. I have an intern coming to do the switchboard. But I'm still waiting for a couple of more resumes on that, okay? So I have to do the switchboard. So if I ask you to go right in there, that means I'm managing the calls, okay? So
okay, no problem.
I want
and just for the record,
yeah.
It's Kiama Hinaru. Kiama Hinaru.
Kiama. Now, what does Kiama mean again?
It's Kiama. Kiama. You have to pronounce the Ki.
Kiama.
You know, the energy
Kiama.
Part of it. Kiama, yes.
Okay, cool. And what does it mean now?
Well, it's a, like, it's not really a Taino name, but it's like a variation of, like, an earth spirit and a spirit that belongs of the earth. So Hinaru is woman, so it would be like a woman spirit that is of the earth.
Oh, man, this is wonderful. Good job. Well, this is Guasabara Indigenous Radio. That means Guasabara in Taino means war. But these shows, it's a different kind of war we're engaging. This war is nonviolent. It's about knowledge. It's about information, how we can be free as Indigenous people and all people who tune in, okay? Very important. As an Indigenous, we lead the way to resistance, okay? So this topic tonight on paranormal, or is it normal? It's a topic that I always confront in Native America in the different creation stories or in the different oral traditions that I've heard from different tribes, from different friends of mine. And anyone who's Boricua or Caribbean, Dominican, Jamaican, everyone's been in the Caribbean. Todo gente allá en Puerto Rico, y tú sabes de esto. That we were raised with this concept of el cuco, you know? Some kind of imaginary monster, right? You know about the cuco, right, Crystal?
Right.
Yeah, man. So there's different things that we raised with, you know? I personally think the cuco exists. Yo sé que el cuco existe. Because whenever I go to a dark room, there's something in my subconscious that tells me, we out there, be careful. You know what I mean? So I don't know if you kind of relate to that, Crystal. Can you a little bit? Were you raised with that concept of el cuco?
Yeah, I was definitely raised with the cuco, but I grew up in the background of Santeria, so the cuco in our house was more of like, you know, I was just feeling energies or entities that were present at the time. It wasn't like an actual monster under your bed.
Uh-huh. Wow. I know in Dominican Republic they have different names, also in Jamaica, Cuba, different names for el cuco, you know. I remember back in the day when I was visiting my grandma in Canovanas, the chupacabra was the big thing, you know. And I spoke to a lot of people in Canovanas at the time. And chupacabra was definitely in people's mind and hearts, you know. There was fear going around. And I sensed that fear, too. But later on, I want to share what happened to me with Chupacabra, but I'll leave that to later, you know. And anyone out there who wants to call in, you can listen to the show, and that's cool. But if you have to, if you want to share some stories later on in the last 15 minutes of the show, you can. And the call-in number is 516-387-1473. That's 516-387-1473. 73, and that's the number you can call in. So, si tú quieres llamar, Si tú quieres llamar de radio aquí en Guasábara, Indigenous Radio, Radio Andina, puedes llamar 516-387-1406. I have a little friend later coming too, un amigo que viene después. Ok, mira, pero tú vas a hablar después, ¿verdad? Aquí, en teléfono. Ok. Ok, I have a special guest here who's going to talk about his experiences here in Corozal and going to different caves here in Corozal and different areas. So it's very important. He had to step out now. You can hear him. So we're here live in Corozal, so this is great, man. Right here, it's dark. There's always activities going on around here. There's lights and so on. We can talk about that later. But right now, I want to introduce to everyone. He's a researcher and also an investigator of paranormal activity. Currently, he lives in Las Vegas and Nevada, which I think is a hotbed for a lot of activities and stuff. So his name is Spooky Lou. All
Hey,
right,
how's
are you
everyone doing
here?
tonight? I'm on the air. Can you
All
hear me?
right. Yeah, man, we hear you loud and clear. You sound kind of spooky, but that's cool, man. I like that.
I'm always spooky, especially on Savannah Radio.
So I have a new co-hostess, man. Her name is Crystal Kiyama Santiago. Did I say it
Nice
right?
meeting you, Crystal.
If I'm gonna choke Sanakuri after this podcast. You have to get it right for next time. It's Kiyama Hinaru.
Oh,
That's
nice to meet you,
scary
Kiyama
already.
Himaru.
It's getting scary out here. We're
So,
talking
anyways, yeah,
about getting hurt.
I was listening to the show before I called in. It was pretty interesting, the stories. You know, I touched base with the Google. You know, of course, you're Sawari, right? But I was born and raised in New York City. I was never raised with the Kuku. My mom purposely kept it out of my life. Isn't that interesting? Or it's ironic, I should say.
Oh, seriously, you weren't raised with a cuckoo? They didn't try to scare you?
No, my mom my mom's broom scared me
Wow.
enough. I didn't get a cuckoo in my life.
Yeah, I don't
Wow.
scare my kids with that. Well, my children, I don't scare my children with that either.
Now,
Yeah, I learned about it from. I'm sorry, I was going to say I learned about it from other people and other people speaking about it. But where I really learned in depth about the Google is actually from you, Lou. You're the one that taught me a lot about the Google and how that correlates or comes from the indigenous, right, culture.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Well, I remember back in the day, I'm talking way back before I had white hair. What happened was I read that the Spaniards were very upset at our people for using the cuco, for scaring their children, using psychological discipline. And our ancestors, the Taino, they were upset that the Spaniards would hit their kids. And I read that somewhere. It was documented. I don't know if it was the La Casas, but there was an issue with that. There was a cultural issue with hitting versus psychological discipline, you know? I mean, I've tried it when I was, when my kids were younger, you know? I tried it with them in a nice way, not like in a brutal way. And to this day, they remind me about the cuco, you know, when they didn't want to go to bed and stuff, especially that when you don't want to go to bed. I says, if you don't go to bed right now and I shut the lights off, guess who's going to come? You know, guess who's going to come? Well, I don't want him to come. I don't want the cuco to come. Man, they went to bed.
I mean, no, like
So,
I remember the cuco like vividly, but I remember
yeah.
also that I was a very sensitive child. So I used to
Yeah.
always feel the energies around me. And I remember, you know, my grandmother always explaining to me that what I was feeling was, you know, different spirits and different energies that were passing through. So I debunked the Google thing really early. I was like, oh, it's not really a monster, it's just energy, you know?
Right. Man, see, I'm looking at my notes and I can't find the word they use in Dominican Republic. If there's any Taino Dominicans out there, please call in. Because there is a word, and I'll try to look for it. They use it. It's not Google. but it's very similar. It has the averted feet.
I think almost every culture has their own version of glucose, right? Because when I lived up north, right, it was the Wendigo.
Yeah.
Depending on different tribes and different cultures, they have different names for their versions of the glucose.
Right. There you go. You see, there's different. I know I hear these stories all the time. Wow, man, looking through my note, I can't believe I didn't write it. I think I left it in my other book. But that's all right, you know. Lou, let me ask you a question. Spooky Lou, you have mentioned to me many times, you send me photos, you send me recordings of different paranormal activities. Tell us a little bit about your passion of the paranormal, or I like to say normal.
Well, I mean, for me, it was like kind of like what Crystal said, you know, me growing up, I guess it's what you call sensitive. You feel energy. You know, as a kid, I strongly believed I lived in an apartment that was haunted. So I had a lot of different experiences growing up. And I came from a family that was real diehard Catholic. I mean, I'm sure a lot of families, especially the Latino, they're diehard Catholics, right? So they weren't into, like, everything's pretty much, I'm not going to say evil because they weren't, like, obsessive. But it was where they didn't really speak about that stuff, if that makes any sense. So, you know, when I would bring it up, they wouldn't want to hear it. Go to bed, you know, do this or that or you know. But growing up, I would experience things. I would see things. Things would move. They would see things. They would experience things, and they didn't want to acknowledge it. So my whole life as a kid, I was touched by it. So that's why I've always been very, very interested in. And it just grew on me, you know. I was like, you know, everyone else is doing it. I've always loved it. It's been part of my life. So this is my passion. This is what I pursue.
Oh, that's good. Hey, listen, I just got an email. Straight up from my good friend from the Heights there. Si guapa, that's the word for the cuco, or at least for the terrifying figure. Si guapa.
I've heard that. Inverted. I've heard about the si guapa.
Si guapa. Yeah, that sounds very Taino, si guapa. So there you go. Thank you, buddy, out there in Washington Heights. My boy over there. So check it out. Ready? Sorry to interrupt you. Can you give us an example, your first experience of the paranormal?
Wow, man. I've had so many.
Well, give us the first one.
The first one that you can remember that blew you away. I'll tell you the first one. Honestly, I never ever shared this story, maybe once or twice in my life. As a kid, in my old apartment, I remember I got up one day, and I saw my father standing, like by his room. And I walked into his bedroom, and he was dressed like he would come home from work, right, for his lunch break, and I walk into the bedroom. And when I walk in there, he was dressed in his work gear, right? He had his uniform on. When I walked in there, he had a rocking chair in there. And when I looked, I actually saw my dad in his underwears in the rocking chair because he would do that all the time. So then I freaked out. I'm telling you, I never shared this. It's so profound, right? It sounds fake. So I turn around and I'm ready to leave, but I see my dad standing there and dressed in his work uniform. But behind me, I see my dad sitting there in his chair, you know, in his rocking chair, in his underwear. And then they start looking at me, smiling at me, but it was, I'm getting scared, pure evil, like this demonic smile. So I tried to, like, run out. Yeah, I tried to run out, and all I remember, this is facts, man, this is facts, bro. I tried to run out, and I remember that he grabbed me by my shirt, and he lifted me up to his face. And he started growling. He was like, and then he just dropped me, and I ran to my mom. I told my mom, but my mom said it was, you know, it was a dream. It was, don't worry about it. It's not real. You know, it's in your head. But as an adult, you know, we talked about this one time. You know, we were having Thanksgiving dinner. We're talking. And then I was like, me and my brother, they were like, well, mom, you know, you guys always try to pretend it wasn't real. They were like, no, it was real. We just didn't want to scare you. We didn't know how to deal with it. But, yeah, the place, man, there's a lot of stories going up there. Yeah.
Hold on. Wait, so hold on. Put on the brakes here for a second. You were sharing it, I don't know about you, Crystal, but I got the goosebumps going in.
Yeah, I was I was about to tell you, Sanakuri, you know me very well. You're like a father to me, so I was about to tell you, like, you know, very sensitive, and I pick up energy very, very fast. So as he was telling me, I was, like, picking up energy on it, and it was kind of like, I don't know,
it's
a tough show for me.
I don't know if the listeners picked it up, but I picked it up. See, that's energy, man. That's energy right there.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
I actually got scared.
I actually got a little scared.
A button in me went off, like, danger, danger, you know? So I was like, oh, man. So did you say it was, like, an evil entity or negative? Wow. Crazy, man.
It was. I know whatever it was an evil entity or whatever the case was. And whatever it was, it followed me for years. And then I made it worse. Because when I got a little older, I started playing with the Ouija board. My parents had one. And I found one. And that was it, man. That was it. Like, I've seen a shadow, man, right? I've had demonic experiences. Oh, man, it was crazy. And the thing is, my whole life, it just keeps happening. And now I actually look for them instead of them finding me.
Wait, say that again?
I didn't hear that.
So I said my whole life, right? Now it's changed because they were there and they would come bother me. Now I come look for them. That's the difference now. I go out there. Yes, I go out there, middle of nowhere. You know me, I'll get lost in the desert. I'll get a camera. I don't care. I've got some crazy stuff on film, crazy voices, and I've been all over the place. So I'm still working on stuff.
Well, you know, as children, our energy is very open. So as children, these entities and these energies, they actually are drawn to us because of the purity that we have. The older we get, and if you're not, you know, not saying you're not, Lou, but if you're not upkeeping your spirituality and you're not practicing it, they kind of tend to fade away because now it's like, I can't scare you. I can't get to you no more. I'm going to go move on and get somebody else's attention. Because a lot of the times these energies and these entities come to us because there's something that they need or they want. You understand what I'm saying? And they know as a child they can get your attention. As an adult who's not scared, you can't really get my attention. You see?
It's a good interpretation.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
But I'll tell you this much. I still get scared. I see with the lights on. Don't be fooled.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke.
Yeah. I sleep with one light on because I still see things and I still feel things too. So.
Yeah, don't be fooled. I mean, I go out there tough, but when I get home at night, I'm like, all right, I'm going to leave the light on or the TV on because you never know.
Wait, hold on. Are you telling me Spooky Lou gets spooked? Wait a minute, hold on.
Man, we all get spooked. I don't care who you are.
Well, my only question right now, I know you mentioned about hunting, right? Ghost hunters, whatever. What I don't understand, when that show first came on, I was really liking it, you know? And I loved the part when they used to get scared and stuff, you know? But my whole thing is, they use the word hunter, right? Usually a hunter is someone that goes kill something, right? But these beings are not alive in that sense, right? Like humans, right? So why do they say hunters? They're not killing or anything. Is there a better word they can use instead of hunters, you think?
Paranormal explorers? I mean, there's so many. Remember, that's entertainment.
Yeah.
It's a whole different division now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Yeah,
and I'll share it out there, mm-hmm. right? Just so people know, a lot of those shows, they're reality shows. They're actors. They're not real. A lot of that stuff, come on, how many times you go out there, you really have a paranormal experience? You're either being haunted or that's reality TV.
Yeah.
And I know this for a fact because I almost had my own TV show twice, and you know the whole story behind that.
Right.
And, and the deal they were offering were, but everyone's an actor. And I was like, well, then that's when I figured, oh, this is all fake. It's not. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of it's real, but the majority is not real. It's not.
Yeah. Wow.
I
know,
I was
in
never
most...
really a fan of playing with the dead.
Who?
I was never really a fan of playing with the dead or the non-living or the no longer physically here. I was never a fan of playing with them like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like playing games with the spirit world, which is kind of a... could be offensive to indigenous peoples too, you know, like that, you know, you
That's
grow,
true.
You know, you're raised to honor, like in a Taino way, you know, you got to honor the dead, you know, you got to remember them, you know, that great movie Coco, right, in Mexico, you know, honor the dead.
Yeah, we embrace that realm of things, you understand, we didn't look at death as a negative aspect, we looked at it as just a phase that we had to transition into as beings. And we understood the concept of being able to come back. And you know, so our ancestors they highly believed, you know, that it was kind of an offense to mourn, you know, so they celebrated that aspect of transition.
Right. Hey, Lou, can you ask me, can you share with the listeners any recent experiences you had in the paranormal level?
I'll share another really scary moment that I had, and this is the crazy thing about this is there's multiple witnesses, right? Actually, I've had a few incidents where there are multiple witnesses, but this happened in New York. When I lived in New York, at the time I lived in Corona, and I'm from Midtown, from Hell's Kitchen, but at that time I moved to Corona, and I had these neighbors right across the street from me. And I know them for years. Really good people, right? And like I know them personally. It wasn't like some an associate. Like I go to clubs with them once in a while, hang out. They'd hang over like every day. And one day I got up. I was gonna go to a club or a lounge or something, right? Got dressed. I was feeling GQ. Go outside, smelling all the cologne. Like yeah, you know I'm fresh. And I get out of the house. And I see the whole family. It was a tribe of them, right? There was like at least, like, I think six of them, right? Like two brothers and the rest were girls and then the mother. And then I come outside. They're like, no, we need your help. And I'm like, well, what's going on? And they're like, listen, man, there's a demon in my apartment. There's two demons running around. And I was like, bro, listen to yourself. Two demons. He's like, there's two demons running around. They're trashing the place up. I was like, my man, you must be on drugs. Like, what are you talking about? They're like, look. And then the mom is there. So when I saw the mom, I was like, this is odd. The whole family, like, even the mother's outside, right? So they're like, Lou, we know that you know about this stuff. Please go up there and help us. I said, listen, I got to go. Because I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not a priest. And I don't know what to tell you, and I left, right? I was young, so I left. I came back, right? It was probably like 4 o'clock in the morning, and they were all still outside in front of their house. That's when I knew something was legit. Something was real. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, they're like, we can't go back in. Like, this is crazy. It attacked us. And I was like, look, you know, that's a whole nother level. I don't understand that. I don't want to get involved with that because I don't know how dangerous that could be, right? I've experienced demonic stuff, but from what they were telling me, I was like, this is weird because the whole family's outside. I'm not dealing with this. The next day I get home from work and there's a bunch of people outside. I see my friend, right? The guy that lives there. They're all outside. There's one guy upstairs screaming and yelling. I hear things being trashed and they're like, yeah, there's a guy up there. He's like praying and he's like finding whatever it is. And in my head, I'm like, come on, man. Like, this is like OD, right? Over the top. This is movie stuff. So then the guy comes down. I'm not going to say his name. He comes down. And when he looked at me, the chills that I got, he looked into my eyes. And I felt the most, I don't know what I felt. I can't even describe the feeling that I felt. It felt, he looked gaunt. He looked like a vampire. He looked like his face transformed, and he looked like someone completely different. And I felt like this pure, like blackness or like I can't even explain what I felt. It was just pure death or chill. I don't know what that was. And he's like spaced out, And then everyone took him to the side, right? The guy comes running downstairs. He's like, hold him down. I'm telling you, I never experienced this in my life. The guy, right, he runs up. They throw him on the floor because he started finding everyone, right? He gets on top of him. He starts praying, like, he puts the Bible on his head, starts saying a prayer, like you see in the movies. And this is the guy that I personally know, not a stranger. And all of a sudden, dude, there's about 8 guys on top of him. He's literally lifting one guy up with one hand, not throwing him or anything, just like 6 inches or a few inches off the ground. He was able to lift him. It took 8 guys to hold this guy down, who probably weighed about 180 or one. You know, he wasn't a big, big dude. He was a small guy. And out of nowhere, I remember that this old man started walking up the block, and there's no way he could see him because he was on the floor. And as soon as the old guy turned the corner, somehow he broke free, jumped up, and he punched the old man in the face. And then the old man said, hold him down, hold him. They grabbed him. The old man took his jacket off. He ended up being a priest. I don't know how that guy knew that that old man was a priest because he was covered up. Then the priest started praying, and I heard my friend start talking in another language that I could not understand. And the priest, I'm assuming it's Latin, the priest started answering him back. And then I started hearing the most vile, messed up things I ever heard in my life. Like said toward Jesus and God, like he was saying the most horrendous thing. I can't even think like that. And then they took him away. A car came, and the priest was like, I'm going to take him to church, and they took off. And that really blew my mind because it wasn't a strange. You hear about people that get possessed, right? And it's like, is it real? I don't know. But when I witnessed that, I was like, you know what? There's forces out here that we do not understand that are way more powerful. And at the end, right, this is what I've learned in the paranormal world. There's people that get possessed. And there's people that go through crazy stuff like that in life. But the one thing they all have in common is at the end of the day, they were messing with something they should not have been messing with. They somehow called it upon themselves, from my experience. And what ended up happening was the guy's mom was sleeping with some married guy. So she went to this woman to do, I don't know, trabajo, I guess it's called, right? And then the woman that she went to do a trabajo hated them. So she made her do all this stuff, but in reality, she was calling on, like, whatever it was, it backfired on them, and they were all getting possessed. I saw this with my own eyes. It was the craziest thing, one of the craziest things I've experienced. I know it's not as scary as the other one, but if you were there, it was scary. Did I lose you?
Louis,
listen, once again,
I felt those goosebumps as you're sharing this beautiful story, or scary story, I should say. Tammy, you have anything to say or to ask?
You know, I don't really mess with the church aspect of things. I can most definitely identify with the fact that, you know, somebody might have did messed up trabajo for her. Have seen that happen before. But as far as him knowing how it was a priest, maybe he just, you know, those type of entities know. They're like, they have like 6 senses, you know. They're not like us. They're not. So he probably felt the energy as the man was walking or something, you know. It's kind of like you ever been walking in the street and you see like a crazy person standing in the corner and they look directly at you and you're like, what the hell, why is this person attracted to me? Well, that's, you know, in the Yoruba culture, it's called Eshu. That's like the trickster, you know. So these entities know who and who not to mess with. You know, they know by energy. So that can very much explain probably why he decided to snuff the priest in the face, you know. But as far as like the church aspect of it, like, the you know, the priest kneeling over him with the prayer, I don't really do the church stuff. I don't really believe in God either, so... But I do know the accuracy of the story because, like I said, there's people that can do some nasty, nasty work out there, especially like these santeros and stuff like that. So I could definitely identify with it.
Yeah, that's just dangerous.
Well,
stuff.
Check it out.
Hold
on. Check it out. Can we get a short pause? I got my guest. He came back. He's from a town called Corozal. In Corozal, it's actually in a village, you know. I mean, a village. It's like a valley, you know. And there's caves here in Corozal, and this was a profound presence of Taino culture here in Corozal. You know, they brought a lot of the Taino people here, the Spaniards, to take care of the sugar cane. You know, a lot of brutality that occurred, and a lot of deaths because of the hardship of working the sugar cane. And these were the Tainos that came from Bayamon, you know, from Cacique Bayamon. So I have a brother here. His name is Carlos.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to break you up, but I have to talk to you about that. I have an experience with an ancestor who came to me and actually, like, demanded sugar cane one time. And I didn't understand why.
Wow.
So we have to talk about that.
Wow.
Sure.
No. So he's here. He's here. His name is Carlos, and he's going to give a talk on his experience at one of the caves that he went to. Since he was a little kid, he's in his 30s. When he was a kid, you know, there's a cave called La Cueva Quintana. So let me have him. He speaks Spanish, so I can help translate, or Crystal, if you want to translate later, okay? So we're going to put him on air now. His name is Carlos from Corozal, Puerto Rico. Un momentito.
Okay, habla ahora. Lo que viene haciendo es, yo fui a la cueva Quintana de aquí en mismo Corozal, pues entré a esa cueva y llegué más profundo y escuché unas voces como si fuera gritando, personas gritando y todo eso, y pues uno se exclama, pero pues yo fui hacia adelante, cuando me encontré muchos marciales de momento, y ahí empezaron a gritar un montón de, como si fuera dioses, de como si fueran muertos gente por ahí. Y en verdad, pues, uno se paniquea y, pues, ¿sabes? Pero eso es bueno para la gente, me gustó, y porque me escuché una figura y todo eso, y me interesaba porque esa cueva está demasiado profunda para la gente. Y en verdad, pues, me gustaría ir de nuevo para que lo que están gritando, algo, escuchar bien lo que dicen, o que sea, ¿entienden? Pues, vamos a ver lo que pasa.
Ah, qué bueno, Carlos, muchas gracias por esto, y maybe un día tú y yo podemos ir, ¿no? Y tú me enseñas la cueva. It's very,
muchas gracias, Carlos. If Chris, well, I can translate. He said there's a cave here, Quintana Cave. A lot of people go there. It's very hard to get to. You have to climb this mountain. And the best way is from above, you know? It's very steep. If you know Puerto Rico, a lot is steep. These steep hills and mountains. All right, check it in. So, and what happens is, he went inside the cave, and it's very profound. You got a deep, deep cave, and you can hear the bats and so on. But when you get really into the cave, it's very dark, like going with a flashlight and stuff. You can hear voices, and the first time he heard these voices, he got very scared, you know. But because of the curiosity and the desire, you know, to be in the cave, you know, he didn't give up, but you can hear these voices. He likes to go back. He's going to take me there and hear what these voices are saying. But it seems like they're in agony or something.
Oh,
what
man,
do you
I feel like
say about that? What do you guys think about that? This is a cave here in Corozal.
I feel like crying.
That's really interesting.
You know, you have to go there and do a lot of libations and a lot of offerings because obviously those spirits need some of that energy.
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Luke. I was going to say, who knows what kind of history occurred there? Who knows the atrocities? Who knows all kinds of stuff that have happened throughout the years?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know historically, the Tainos, our ancestors, they use caves as ceremonial, you know, places, you know, and also burial rituals and stuff. So one can just imagine, you know. And the sugar cane industry here was very brutal. You can imagine a lot of the deaths, you know. I mean, you're talking about 15-hour shifts, you know, day in, you know, every day, 15-hour shifts. So very, very brutal.
Well, you know what they say that, like, spirits, when they die, a traumatizing event, or their body is not buried properly, or, you know, because burial, like the burial of our bodies is very important to our ancestors. They didn't just get rid of bodies. It was a certain way that they buried us so that we would be able to reincarnate faster. And this is practiced throughout, not just Taino culture, it's practiced throughout Yoruba culture, mm-hmm. African culture. Every culture known that practices spirituality, they make sure that their dead are safeguarded and buried correctly. So it's probably probably has a lot to do with the fact that those people weren't buried properly. Their spirits can't transition, they can't move on, and they're stuck.
Yeah.
You know, and they just continue to relive those traumas over and over again. You have to be careful with spirits like that, because spirits like that can attach themselves to you, especially when you carry a lot of light. And, you know, you just have to be very cautious when you're going into places like that. Like I said, make sure you bring a lot of libations, a lot of, you know, offerings, and just dedicate that time and space to remembering them, you know?
Yeah, I know recently I had a friend of mine who they've been getting into meditation, learning how to meditate, practicing really hardcore, which is great, you know? And then, but there was some spooky stuff going around, like things moving and, you know, weird energies in the home. And I asked this person, where were you early in the day? What was your day like? Well, I went to the cemetery and did some prayers at the cemetery, or some meditation in the cemetery. I'm like, whoa, okay. Let's start there.
Right.
So I just told him to do certain things, and things quieted down after that. But yeah, you're totally right. As indigenous people, you know, our honoring of those spirits, you know, they're alive and well. So we have to honor them, I guess, right? That's very important. Lou, I just got an email from someone, and they mentioned about the Ouija board. It seems like the Ouija board is something that's really, what is feared? Is feared? A lot of churches, you know, they consider this even sinful for using a Ouija board. What is your experience with Ouija board? I know you mentioned it earlier, but they want us to talk about Ouija board,
okay.
Tool, I guess.
That's the thing. I really think that when you start exploring that, you need to be very careful and understand what you're doing. A lot of people don't take it as a joke. You don't know. I mean, this is from my own personal experience. Everyone says they know and they speak confidently about it, but at the end of the day, no one's died and come back except, right, supposedly Jesus, but we don't know. So I know that when I used the Ouija board, I got addicted to it. Like, I was playing that every day like it was like Nintendo or something. Like, I was just messing around with it. And what happened was every day, it's like I had a friend. Every day I come home, and I just want to play with the Ouija board. I want to play with the Ouija board. It's almost like it took over.
Wow.
And one time I was in my basement in a building, not in a house, right? And my brother was down there, and I swear to you, man, like this thing, I'm not going to say I heard voices, but I could almost, so this is what I did, just so you understand. I'm down there, and I could feel that thing with me. And I said to it in my head, right, if you're real, do something to my brother. And all of a sudden I hear my brother go, ah.
Oh my God.
I didn't tell him for years later. He was so mad.
I was going to say, now he just found out.
Brother, he was so mad. I told him the story. And he was like, why would you do that? And I looked, he's on the floor. And I was like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I tripped or something. It's pretty messed up, right? But in my head, I was like, oh my God. Like, what are the chances that, you know, like that happened? But it got so crazy. I started making my own Ouija boards. Like, I had friends, and we would go to the park, and we started creating our own Ouija boards. So, yeah, if you want to try creating your own Ouija board, it will work. It will.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow. I started seeing things. Yeah, man. I started seeing things. And then I started having dreams. But I started having dreams, but it was like with like a demon. And I'm not, you know, people say the church, but it's not about the church, right? Excuse me, because I'll get into a story about, you know, what we call demons. And if you'd like, I'll share it. And this was on a reservation, right? It had nothing to do with religion or anything like that. And I was with a bunch of Native people from that reservation. We all had that experience as well.
but I was having these demonic dreams. Now, I do believe that if you go to the church, you're looking for goodness, and I do believe you could fight evil, you know. If it doesn't, and when I say church, anything good, anything you believe in that's positive, like you said, there's a balance in life, right? There's negative and there's positive. Anything you believe in that's positive can fight off the negative, whether it's church, whether it's, you know, if you're Muslim, you know, whatever it is, you know, Judaism. But I believe that you could fight off whatever this stuff is. I don't know what they are, but I do believe these entities exist. They're, and a lot of them are way older than we are, and they've been around. They're a lot smarter. Because I've met people out here, especially in paranormal groups. This is why I don't associate myself with them. You know, they'll go out there, oh, yeah, demons. And I ask them, how do you handle that? I'm like, what do? You just show no fear. And I say to myself, but you don't really know what you're dealing with, because these things are a lot smarter than we are, too. They'll wait around and sit for you, and they'll wait, and you'll forget. And next thing you know, it could be a year or two, something could happen in your life, and that's when they'll pounce on you. And that's another thing people don't realize when you deal with this stuff. So I normally don't go that route, because I know how powerful it is. I've dealt with it. But people go around acting like, oh, but you don't know. You know, you have to protect yourself. But, yeah, I started having these bad dreams, man. I started dealing with a lot of negativity. And even my girlfriend at the time, you know, I would see this black shadow, and I would see what people call the shadow man, which back then, I was a teenager, I didn't know that that was a phenomenon, right? Google didn't exist. Like, today, you can Google it, and you'll see that millions of people have had the same experience. And she didn't believe me. She started seeing it. And she put two and two together. She told, even my mom. And she told me, she goes, every time I see the black shadow, something bad happens to you. And it bothered me for years, man, for years. Yeah, it was rough. But I got rid of them, thank God.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in a native culture, you know, it's acceptable, you know. But in the modern culture or contemporary culture, it's like the boogeyman, you know. It's like, you know, Hollywood really wants us to be so scared of spirits or, you know. You know, it's just out of control, I find, right? What do you think about that?
But I think it depends. I think it depends because you have, I mean, you have good spirits, right? You have what people call angels as well. You have family members that passed on. You have, you know, hauntings that are not demonic or evil. What you see on TV is what they promote, a lot of evilness, right? Like Ghost Adventures, pretty much the number one show, and everything there is about demonic. It's pretty much demonic stuff, but not every haunting is evil. There's good, you know, paranormal experiences that people have. Yeah. Right, Crystal? I mean, I'm sure you agree.
Well, this is the thing, right? When it comes to the Ouija board, because it's called the Ouija board, that's the way I pronounce it. And if you look at the word Ouija, it's actually a really old traditional name, but I won't get into that now. But it's a portal. You can open, Brother Lou said, you can open a portal wherever you go. It's a portal. It's a base of energy. So you don't necessarily need that specific board. Like I said, and he said, you can open one wherever you go. As far as Hollywood being spookism, they do it because they want your traditional spirituality to be spookism. They want to steer you away from your traditional spirituality. They want you to believe that church and Jesus Christ and God and paganism is the righteous way and the only good way. So they don't want you to practice your ancestral spiritual work. Understand? As far as the shadow man, I have a story about that, and I actually spoke to another elder in the Taino community about it, and the feedback that I got from it was actually amazing. So when I was a child, I had a shadow man experience too, and he used to come and he used to pick me up and he used to throw me out the window. But when he would throw me out the window, I would just be falling and falling and falling, but I would never really fall, you know? So I used to, I used to wake up crying and scared, and one day, you know, my dad's like, what's wrong with you? Why you keep waking us up? And, you know, he kind of, like, hit me for it. And I told him, and he looks at me, he goes, I've been dealing with that shit for years. He comes, he picks me up out of the bed, and he throws me out the window, and I never fall. I said, yeah, that's what happens to me. So when I spoke to the elder in the Taino community, she explained to me that it's actually like, it's like an entity that follows you from childhood to adulthood. And it follows you because there's some type of linkage to your family.
Wow.
So when she explained that to me, I understood a little bit better why would I be getting the same dream that my father got all of his life, right? Demons, energy. When we say the word demons and in traditional society, we never use the word demons. We acknowledge that there's good energy and there's negative energy. Like Brother Lou said, there's good spirits and there's negative spirits. But nothing about spirituality is evil. There's good, there's bad, there's Heru, there's Set, there's angels, there's a balance to everything. But I can never ever look at spirituality and say something is evil. Whatever that is, it was here, it's here for a reason. And you have to learn how to acknowledge the energy and fix it or keep it away from you if that's not your way of life, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting when I walk around here in town. Yeah, when I walk around in town. Huh?
We have two Lou's on the line, so I heard spooky Lou in the background.
Yeah, I said it was very deep, what you said. I like the way you explained it. Well, go ahead, Lou.
No, I remember that when I walk the town around here in Corozal, I know a lot of people, they see my jewelry, my native jewelry, and instantly they ask me if I'm a brujo, you know. And sometimes some people that ask me are looking for help, you know, they're looking for a cleansing, you know. So people that don't understand it sometimes look at me with disdain, you know. But the ones that ask me stuff, I mean, if they ask me, they ask me straight up, you know, do you do limpiezas, you know, cleanings, cleansings, and so on. And then we start to talk. And you can see in most of the people, they are searching for some kind of cleansing because there's something going on in their house or there's something going on in their lives that they attribute to negative, you know, a demon or a bad spirit, you know. So it's interesting that it's still very much alive in the culture here in Puerto Rico, you know, that the whole sense of searching for ceremony, you know, or searching for that balance, you know what I mean? That's what ceremony is. You try to balance the positive, the negative.
It's all ancestral. You know? It's all ancestral. And we wonder why we deal with certain things, with certain energies. It's all ancestral. These entities, these so-called demons, as you would say, they can walk with your family for lineages and lineages and lineages. If it's not addressed, it's never going to go away. So like I said, Hollywood and you know, the American society, they love to portray spirituality as evil or devil worship. Or, I mean, like, come on, they had a whole witch trial. They burned the witches, right? But in reality, it's just a way to further like colonialism and keep you away from practicing their true spirituality. Because like I said, our ancestors did not believe in demons. They did not believe in demons. They believed there was good energy, there was bad energy, and you knew how to work with it, and you would stay away from whatever you didn't want to be around.
Well, you know what? You hit a great point, and this is part of the Guasabana, you know, declaring war against colonialism, colonization, because, you know, we have our belief systems. I remember reading a story about he's from Mexico, a culandero. He was very, very successful, Lianes. I read a book. He was quoted in one of his rituals. I believe it was Natural Geographic. And I remember years ago, and I remember he said something I never forgot. And he said that in life, there is positive or constructive or negative destructive energies, you know. And my job is to maintain the balance, you know what I mean? To maintain the dance, like a rhythm kind of thing, you know, where you try to keep it flowing. Don't, and if it, when it gets stuck, that's when illness comes and disease and fear and so on, or hauntings and stuff like that, you know. So he's very successful in going to people's homes and doing cleansings and also curing people. But it was all about positive. What's in your life that's making you positive? What's in your life that's making you feel negative? You know what I mean? And one thing that to this day I still remember that was really profound, he says the problem with indigenous ways, let's say Christianity or other religions, is that we don't believe this through faith. We believe this, I mean, not even the word belief. It's like we know this to be true. He said this is a knowledge. There's faith, there's still a question there, you know? When you have a belief or faith in something, it's almost like, you know, it's a hope, you know what I mean? Like, this is true. And in indigenous way, no, this is true. This is reality, you know? So he was so sure about saying that, you know what I mean? He says, this is not a faith system, this is real, you know? This is knowledge. So mm-hmm. I think that's important for indigenous people, that we have to think about that, you know? That, you know, we know this to be true. Why? Because for thousands of years, right? It's time tested. So, wow. That's another weapon for the war against colonization. Nonviolence, though, right? So you got to be proud of who you are as a people, right? And I think that's what you're saying, Crystal. And I think that's what you're practicing, Spooky Lou, that it's all right to talk about spirits. Right, it's all right to be spooky a little bit. this is our knowledge,
yeah, but,
you know.
But to deny it,
it's like what? Like what the heck? Those things are there. Like you can see those energies. Yeah. You can see those things. You know. So why would you deny
it,
man?
But if you realize, right? If you really take a look, times are changing because there's a lot of TV shows now where they actually promote these ghost shows, they promote this, you know. People are being more open about being psychic or being sensitive and, you know, feeling energy. So there's a shift, you know. I understand that part, but things are changing. People are, to this day and age, I mean, 20 years ago wasn't like this, you know. 30 years ago wasn't like this. Now people are more open to it. When I was growing up, people used to make fun of me. I have friends that would tell me, yeah, this guy jerks off to X-Files. Now they're like, hey, Lou, I believe in this stuff. I've had my own experiences. So people are actually opening up and believing and understanding. And I also think it has to do with society. It has to do with TV. You know, it's a form of entertainment, but at the same time, people are actually accepting it. Just what, 20 years ago, if you talked about UFOs, they thought you were crazy. You know, now people are like, well, I've had an experience. Now it's becoming more common. Yeah. So slowly but surely, people are opening up to spirituality and different knowledges that are out there. They're becoming more accepting, I think, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct, yeah. But sometimes, you know,
well,
you look at these movies.
It's that awakening within us.
But,
you know, there's been talk, ancestors gave elders messages that said that, you know, after a certain amount of years, the world is going to go back to spirituality. So it's here now.
Yeah, exactly. That's so cool. You know, there's so many stories that come to my mind. But, you know, I want to bring it back to the beginning here. Early on, I remember as a young man, I remember being exposed to Chupacabra here in Canóvanas, Puerto Rico. I'm telling you, people were believing that something, you know, was happening out there, you know, something that just wasn't normal, you know. And I remember other people mentioning stories. I can't even remember the stories, but...
Well, Lou, very briefly, since you're in Puerto Rico, Lou, very briefly, I want to mention this. The most latest one that's probably happened between the past two to three years, not even, is La Gárgola.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure you've heard. My own aunt swore that she saw La Gárgola, middle of the night, in Los Montes de... I forgot where she lives now. Rio Piedra, somewhere up there, right? So people now are saying they see gargoyles in Puerto Rico. So who knows?
That's right. Oh, I just want to mention that here in Puerto Rico, I don't know about the other islands, but when you look at UFO, I forgot the website. I think it's UFO, not Hunters, but UFO Watch. They tell you where the most sightings are, recent sightings. When you put Puerto Rico, there is a lot, almost every day there's different activities of UFOs. Those, you know, just Puerto Rico is, you know, they're not strangers to the paranormal, right, or UFOs and stuff like that. You have anything to add to that?
So, Lou, I just want to let the listeners know, if anyone's out there, they can follow my page, Spooky Lou's Paranormal, on Facebook. Spooky Lou's Paranormal.
Say it again.
Any stories you want to share, if anyone wants to follow me or share their paranormal stories, please do. You can go to my Facebook page. It's called Spooky Lou's Paranormal. Spooky Lou's Paranormal.
That's cool, man. That's cool. Yo, whatever happened to your partner back in Vegas? What was his name? Remember in another show, he got arrested or something.
What
was his name? He got arrested.
What are you talking about?
He was your old
about?
Partner.
My
I
old,
forget his name.
You
Hold
mean,
on. He got arrested doing some investigative work. Who was that guy? Star Lou, that's it.
Oh. Oh, you're crazy, bro. That's funny.
Christopher, this guy got arrested.
Oh, man.
Was it,
yeah,
that what
guy.
Was that? Hangar 51
guy,
or whatever. Whatever.
That guy.
Hey, Chris, you know
hey,
about
Lou, you know what, though?
Hangar 51?
You know, I've actually been there, not inside, but I've been there. You know what?
Huh?
If you have me back on the show, Lou, I could share a bunch of stories, you know, more stories that I have. I know that I didn't get a chance to share a bunch more. But, yeah, I can share stories about Area 51. I've actually been to Area 51, not inside, outside.
Well, your boy got arrested, right? What thing, Star Lou?
He might have to start playing the fornication song, right? Everybody's like, what
is,
the hell are you talking about?
Wait, hold on. Wait a minute. Is Crystal still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, but I'm going to have to be getting off soon.
Oh, okay, cool. So you were abducted this time. What the hell's going on here now?
No, I'm here. The whole UFO thing, I choose not to speak about on the podcast. That's just not my area. I have my own.
Why? I'm curious.
Thoughts on
why?
Hey, Spooky Lou, you already scared her. See, you scared her away.
No,
what's
I'm not
going
scared.
On?
No, I'm not scared. It's just I come from a background where I'm very open to spirituality. So not only do I practice the spirituality, but I also study the Kemetic and the Yoruba, and UFOs and Kemetic and Yoruba are actually not a joke. They're actually something that really does exist, and people misinterpret it for being like this big gray gigantic alien, but in fact, like, there's actually been proof in within the cultures that these are actually beings that came down and taught us things throughout time. So I don't deal with that type of conversation about it, because I have a little bit more of knowledge about it when it comes to like the spiritual aspect of it, you know. So whenever people like, joke about it, I just kind of stay quiet in my own little bubble about it, because
oh, no, we're joking about Star Lou, who got arrested at Hangar 51.
Oh, no. I know. I get it. But I'm just saying, like, you know, like, I understand it's a joke, you know, but I've never heard of him.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I don't know why he got arrested. And you asked me about my opinion on UFOs, so that's why I explained it to you.
You know what, Crystal? Off the air, can I talk to you about more of that? Because I'm curious to know what, like, your thoughts on it. I'm serious.
Yeah.
All right, this is what I'm going to do, guys. Check this out. We literally have, like, 1 minute left. This was a great show. This is awesome. I love it. But let me tell you something. In the memory of Star Lou, Spooky Lou, we're going to have you back. I'm going to give you your own spot, man, because these stories have to come out. I'm a big fan of Coast to Coast Radio, and I think it's very important that we start, you know, discussing these. It's not paranormal, it's normal for indigenous peoples. So
this is the home of art.
Yeah. So let's talk about getting you a slot, okay, in the future.
All right, let's do it,
Radio. And we're going to have people call in, share their experiences, okay? And
let's do it.
And then we have co-hostess Crystal Kiyama. That's K-I-A-M-A, Inaru, Santiago, I'd like to thank you for being with us, taking some time away from your family. And thank you, listeners, for listening in live. And also all your future listeners, thank you for downloading the show. Any questions, please hit us up, okay? Guasabara Indigenous Radio. Look us up in Facebook. We're there. We're going to have fun, and we're going to see you next. The next show will be Tuesday, tomorrow, December 3rd. We're going to talk about protecting our waters. There's a protest in New York occurring, I believe it's December 7th. It's a big protest relating to water. So look out on Facebook for that. Louis Sanacori Ramos at Facebook. Look for our page, Guasabara Indigenous Radio. Spooky Lou, you spooked the hell out of us today. Thank you so much. I got the goosebumps to testify, so that's great. I'd like to thank Carlos from Corozal for sharing his experience. Excuse me. And Crystal, you have anything to say before we leave? I think she left. Hello?
I think that was funny. Hello? You laughed. You know, I think she left.
She got scared, man. Right? Wait a minute. No, but she did good.
Story of my life.
Good.
Story of my life.
Well, listen, I got a special guest star here who's going to end the show. Okay, and his name is, man, it's an honor, Spooky Lou. Before he comes on, do you want to say a few words to end the show?
I just want to say thank you, and everyone, you could follow my page, Spooky Lou's Paranormal. Any questions, you can contact me there. Thank you.
Okay, so I want to have this special person coming on. He's going to close the show, okay? Many of you may not know him, but many of you might, and take it away. All right, man, this is Wolfman Jack. I'd like to thank everyone for being here tonight and listening. We're going to hear you soon. Spooky Lou, I love what you said. It's Wolfman Jack signing off. Guasabara Indigenous Radio.